Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Ms. Poetic Picasso and Dreamer of Dreams. I'm going to be missing our dear Weaver of Dreams. She's on a fabulous vacation in Spain, so happy anniversary and happy birthday. And just so that you know, our radio program comes from allpoetry.com. It is a poetry website that is free to join it. I don't know why I got a list tonight, but I do. And just to let you know that these radio shows are supported by poetry. And we want to thank every poet that donated their poems for books that you can find on Amazon.com, and they're named right after our, like our show, Late Night Poets, and then their anthologies, and then also book releases on all the various shows that you have during the evening. So please check us out on Amazon.com, and just like our group name, allpoetry.com, we welcome you. And we're going to be doing front page picks tonight, which I'm so excited about, and also open poetry, just fabulous poetry. So we're going to go ahead and start picking up our callers. Caller 778. Ray?
Hello.
Hello. Hi,
Hello.
Ray. How are you doing this evening?
I'm
yeah,
good,
I can hear
you.
You sound? I'm doing good. I can hear you better now. All right. Welcome, welcome, Gray. Let's pick up our next caller. Caller 703, who am I speaking with?
Miriam Kilmer. And I have to beg to read.
Hi,
only...
Miriam.
Yeah, I wore myself out with a brevity, so if I may please read early and skedaddle.
Okay.
I appreciate...
Okay. That'd
thank
be
you.
Fine. Okay. Thank you, Miriam. And Gray, I'm sure he heard that. Let me pick up our next caller, 585. Who am I speaking with?
Good evening, Lulu. How are you doing?
Hi, Laurent. I'm doing good now that the weather's gotten cold. Cooler, I should say. I love fall. Ah, I've been roasting. It's so good to have you tonight. I love hearing you read and like your voice. Welcome, Laurent. And our next caller is 707. Who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish. Good to have you.
Hi there. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome. And
thank
so
you.
We're going to go ahead and get started, Gray. If you would please put in our first poem, sweetie.
Okay, I put in Miriam's poem.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
So I am reading She Spun Four. If you're wondering about the four, it's the fourth draft. Here it goes. Ice skater enters the rink. Eyes gleam green. Lips curl like strips of orange peel. Like birds, she floats over mirrored glass, skimming over naked water. Her body bows. The taut air waits, hesitates, while ears listen for beginning notes, then floats again, her arms rising like bronze butterflies. Skirt fluttering in the wind, she stirs. Spun from her spindle like skein of silk, gossamer tightly wound, dressed in glittering red and gold, motion blurs her pink as she races. Marigold hunkers, spreads her arms, she jumps, kicking up sparks. White, starry frost twirls in midair, twirling, spinning. Once more around she spins, frozen motion, cold as icicles. No drip she is, landing like thistle down, swan's down on ice. Arms spread like swan's wings, knees bend, back bends, then rises. Head rising like a swooping cup of wind. Round like a top, she unwinds, skates slow circles, round as standing spinning wheels, spins again, slender as a silken thread, cold as a blast from a freezer. Frenzy animates her silver skates. New spinning bends, wobbles, twists. Left leg lifts to slice the frigid air. Hands clasped around it. A barber pole. She slides like a well-wrought sliding door, then glides to stop, still as an icicle, not dripping. See marigold bending so low, rising, waving as spectators for. They throw bears, blue flowers, yellow daisies. Sliding, the skater steps from the ice. Her coach's arms coat her. Embers embrace cold hero. Aurora touched the spinning spindle, pricked her finger, fell, slept 100 years. When Marigold spins her rainbow thread, no crashing she, no dripping blood. Cheers and clapping hands surround her, a raging sea. Energy flows now as before. Tumult of performance past for now, while images of future jumps and spins, prizes hanging from her slender neck, silver, bronze, and gold spark her dazed eyes. How can I rise to a 10 from the newly tweaked auto rank? 74 things it prefers, none it doesn't. Few capitalizations, no lines begin the same. Can't do higher than 8.95. Prof sameness, 5. How many are there? Just jumped to 9.07. No clue. Can I rise to a 10 from the newly tweaked auto rank? Add another verse, just in case that has to do with how prof I'm like. A few more lines. Does that do it? No. Perhaps I need to find vermilion dragons, deep clouds of knotted stink, uncounted streams of whistling girls. Ah, 9.51, I'm rising. Ripened avocados and gurgling brooks. Too many images now? But when I added images, Otto thought I took them out. I guess I had too many. Otto doesn't like thunderstorms in china cups or diamonds falling from the lips of beekeepers. Guess I reached the image limit. Don't know what to do. More weak words worked. And a couple of cliches. And poem.
I really enjoyed your last stanza. I liked your humor in that. I can't do auto rank because then sometimes I notice that the sentences don't make sense to me, and I don't know, it's just so hard, and I heard that he changed it again. You know, I really loved your ending stanza, but I'm going to let somebody else comment on that. You know, I really thought this was wonderfully and beautifully written. I enjoyed hearing you read about this beautiful skater and the images that she put in here. Ears listen for beginning notes, then floats again, her arms rising like bronze butterflies, skirts fluttering in the wind she stirs. Oh, I thought that was so gorgeous. I found something in each stanza that I loved, you know, her spinning, like sea marigold bending so low, rising, waving as spectators roar. You know, the Olympic crowds, you can just hear that. They throw bears, blue flowers, yellow daisies. I could just see that as if I was up in the audience. And, you know, this is just gorgeous all the way through the end. And then the humor at the end, that sarcastic where you just question everything. And I really enjoyed the way you did that, Miriam. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You got it. You understood.
I mean, Gray, what did you think of Miriam's poem?
I thought it was a fantastic poem. I really liked the ice beater references and, you know, also the auto rank references at the end. You really spun a tale here that's quite intriguing and involved. So, and you did a beautiful read on it. So congratulations on your front page pick.
Thank you.
And you said a funny Gray. Oh. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
Oh, I really liked it. For years, I watch every bit of figure skating that I could possibly watch on television. And when the Olympics came around, it was a real treat. And I noticed that Miriam must be the same as I am in terms of paying attention to detail, because every line seems to describe very accurately emotion or something I've seen a figure skater do. By way of example, wound like a top, she unwinds, skates slow circles, round as standing spinning wheels, spins again, slender as a silken thread, cold as the blast from a freezer, frenzy animates her silver skates. Prior to that, that stanza, where she talks about spreading her arms, she jumps, kicking up sparks, white starry frosts. And any line that you could want to pick in this is a really good visual, poetically rendered, of that figure skater until we meet Aurora. That is where I was momentarily lost. And then the poem does change fairly dramatically, almost a different poem. So I wondered why Miriam, without any kind of interruption, visual interruption, moved right into Aurora and then the rest of it as if it was one entire work, when it seems to be two works. Now, other than that, this is a terrific piece. I really like it. It's beautifully written.
Well, it's just a kind of a hint of the humor to come that Aurora is one of the names of the Sleeping Beauty. And when she touched the spindle, her finger and fell asleep.
No, I understand that. I just couldn't figure out what it had to do with finger skating.
Nothing. Absolutely.
Well, it leaves you spinning. That's what it does. Come on, Miriam, tell him. Because it leaves you spinning trying to get an auto rank. All the dips and stardust that we try to put into everything and to try to get that rank.
It was a challenge.
Auto rank is so confusing.
I agree.
A poetry group, she made this challenge where all of us were supposed to try to get a 10 in the new auto rank. So that's where this comes from. It was a chore. It was really hard. I didn't make it either. I have since, just for fun.
Now, sometimes I get a high ranking, then I change my wording, and then I get a lower ranking, and I'm just like, yes, it is. It's really difficult.
Something changes without changing anything. I just hit update and I get a number.
Yeah, you know, and then some poems that I don't think are going to auto rank, they auto rank. It's just, so now I just write to write and just forget it. How about you, Gwen? How about you and your auto rank and this beautiful poem by Miriam?
Well, I enjoyed the beautiful poem by Miriam. Thank you for sharing it with us. And auto rank is auto rank. And I leave it to itself.
Yeah.
I think it's a fascinating tool to mess around with, but I don't take it as a serious lightning guidance to how to write. So I just like it's interesting. And I really enjoyed your poem, Miriam. I thought it was a very challenging and thrilling poem on human tenacity, and I really enjoyed that because I remember I used to watch figure skating when I was a kid for years. It was just amazing, and what they do now just blows my mind. But I really enjoyed it, and I liked the Vermilion Dragons. Well done, you.
Thank you.
Agreed. And thank you for calling in, Miriam.
Oh, you must.
I appreciate it very much. And everybody's got different time frames. Poor Weaver is always calling like at 3:00 in the morning. She just shows with me. So everybody, you know, you love poetry and you're going to call in. So we appreciate it very much. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you so much.
Are you going to hang out with us for a little bit, or are you going to go?
I already did 2 hours with the brevity reading, and my body is saying to quit. I'll miss you.
All right.
All right. Bye.
We'll miss you too. You have a great night's sleep. Good night. Okay, Greg, we're ready for our next poem.
All right, here we go. Sorry, I'm going to paste it here. There we go. And this is...
Irish?
It's All in
go
the
ahead.
Family
okay.
by Irish Rose.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Thank you. Begin poem, It's All in the Family by Irish Rose. The nuclear family is an eclectic blend of yin and yang, like a group of living beings strung by one on a living chain, linked with extraordinary emotions, lives, and experiences that flow and stream from real-life DNA that runs through the body, mind, and bloodstream, often uninhibited according to familial links. Individual emotions, perfections, and imperfections slowly merge and blend. The U-Haul rolls up and unloads old bags and boxes of family secrets. Sometimes boxes of happiness, others contain sadness, anger, or fear. Small boxes of disgust, and old bags full of life's never-ending surprises, filled with personal reflections and cultural pop-ups that help mitigate life. Boxes come fully packed and are personally demanding to be unpacked with the physical courage, the emotional courage, the intellectual courage, the social courage, the moral courage, and the spiritual courage, just to remain sanely entwined and organized in a harmonic song that is sung by all, not falling apart during the dance. Single parents with big hearts that choose to walk the road alone are cut from a different cloth. Some are single-minded, others are survivors from the great unwinding of death and divorce, to shoes that snugly fit, being aware of their steps and missteps and navigating life's rough road. That's going somewhere. The extended family is a different breed of seed and lives under one roof. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, cousins, ex-in-laws, dogs, cats, more isn't always merrier. Sometimes now and then insanity grows grim, and there's absolutely and positively no room left at the inn. The trialist family may not want children or camp. They usually are affluent and are okay with the two of everything, choosing a more self-gratifying way, free from burdens kids bring. They are gay or straight, doing their own things, gregarious purveyors they are, of personal values and things just for them, like driving a 2023 Porsche Taycan just to go grocery shopping. Really? The step family can be a modgepodge of humanity, buried in deep debt, not going too fast anywhere, paying, always paying an ex's alimony check. Stitches are taken for parents' sins, kins manipulated and confused, and at times shortchanged and abused, paying for the parents' mistakes. And the train left them standing at the station, and they're going nowhere. The grandparent family can be least or most prepared for recycling kids that are hip, slick, and cool, and know how to slip out of pockets quick. Grandkids, though, can forget that they raised their parents and get them because they were originals of hip, slick, and cool. They were the ones that wrote the song and danced beneath the night's full moon. End poem.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Gwen. You know, let me pick up this caller so they can comment also. Hold on a second, please. Caller 512, who am I speaking with?
Do you not recognize my voice there?
Oh, Francisco. Hola, hola, hola. Besitos. Welcome, welcome to the show. So happy to have you.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, yeah, one of my co-hosts. Welcome, welcome. You know what, Gwen, what I loved about your poem, not only was it brilliant and was it beautifully penned, is that you included all the different various types of families in here. And I really enjoyed that, especially where you start off, you know, with your beginning stanza. That's what captured me. So I'm going to go with the beginning stanza. The nuclear family is an eclectic blend of yin and yang, like a group of living bees strung one by one on a living chain. Oh, I thought that was just so gorgeous and so visual. Linked with extraordinary emotions, lives, and experiences that flow and stream from real-life DNA that runs through the body, mind, and bloodstream, you know. And then you go into more descriptive things in the poem, which I will let other people comment on, but this was beautifully penned, and I thought it was brilliant how you included the rise and fall and the, you know, the, everything that families suffer and the different family groups. And I so enjoy hearing you read it, Gwen. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Gray, what did you think of Gwen's poem?
Well, you did a beautiful read on the poem, Irish Rose. And, you know, it was an epic read on the varying facets of family and life within these situations, which is palpable for sure. Well done, and congratulations
thank
on
you.
Your front page.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
Well, I've had the pleasure of reading this before. I think it was on the show a while back, and I have to express my admiration for it. It's such an interesting breakdown of a family, an eclectic blend. If I had to quote something new that I didn't the last time, it would be, where is it? The step family can be a mad podge, and I like that phrasing, of humanity buried in deep debt, not going too fast anywhere, paying, always paying, an ex's alimony to check. Hostages are taken, for parents' sins, kids manipulated and confused, and at times, shortchanged and abused, paying for the parents' mistakes, and the train left them standing at the station, and they are going nowhere. Really well-written piece, a broad look at human, animal, and guise of the family. Excellent.
Thank you. Appreciate
thank you. Wonderful comment, Matt. Thank you. And Frank. What did
yeah.
you think of Gwen's poem?
Yeah, I do recall like last poem before. I thought the poem was very introspective, makes up, and very inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank and Gwen. Would you like to say anything?
I appreciate you all listening to me and all you commenting and sharing your feelings about this work. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thank you, Gwen, and congratulations on your front page pick. Okay, Greg, you're on the roll today. Please introduce our next poem, please.
So we have L.G. Mace with Modern Coniforms as an Adapted Quatrain by L.G. So if you wouldn't mind reading that, Louie, that would be great.
Okay. Modern Coniforms by L.G. A microscopic view of ocean strand. Beneath a sunny sky is safety zone, and towels spun together on the sand are lathered up to tan with copper tone. The weekenders are soaking up the rays on microscopic view of ocean strand to shed an urban feeling of malaise from indoor lights and laptops in command. They're crowded in as a narrow rubber band between the coastal markers on the shore. The view of ocean strand is better than a patio stone floor. Tsunami signs are posted on platforms with lifeguards at their stations in the sand. A trendy tropic tail, cuneiform, shape microscopic views of ocean strand. Ah, what a fabulous poem by L.G. I never thought about, this was a new image that I have never read before. They're crowded in as narrow rubber bands between the coastal markers on the shore. When you could look from above all those different towels laying across, like, you know, a bag of, you know, like rubber bands. And that just tickled me. I really enjoyed that imagery. What did you think of the LG's poem, Gray?
I thought it was great. You did a beautiful read on it. But, you know, it really captured the image quite brilliantly. Mm-hmm. And with grace for sure. So congratulations on your front page pick, LG, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I thought I just unless we're on a different poem.
Yeah, LG. Did you want to read it before, and I can come back to you?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. Yeah, no, I didn't. I'm a poem behind. I beg your pardon.
All right. Thank you. And Gwen, what did you think of LG's beach poem?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I love the wordplay that she had. That was really cool. That was very, you know, really nice and tight. And I liked the way that she saw the relationship of the design of the cuneiform. And I thought that, because I'm familiar with cuneiform, and I thought, oh, look at, yeah. And it's like, yeah, just like cuneiform. So I thought it was really a clever job.
Yes, it was. Thank you. And I had a fabulous time reading it. What did you think about the poem, Frank?
I thought the poem was very creative, very innovative as well. I thought the whole reference there to what was referred to before, the quatern itself, I thought that was very, very perceptive there. I thought overall, I thought the poem was just an excellent read, an excellent write.
Thank you, Frank. Fabulous. And I want to thank Hope for hanging out with us. She's in a different time zone, and she's sleepy. So, besitos. Y buenas noches, Hope. Good night. Okay, Gray, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, this one is by Lorenz, and it's called I Want To, and it has a SoundCloud. I will play that. Here we go.
I Want To. By Oz. I want to do to you what the west wind does to the aspens. Shake the gold out of your veins with a moan. Move even the intractable parts of yourself. I want to play at destiny like a moonbeam falls on a moonflower. I want to add to your song, like the brook winding through the forest of dawn. I want you to find me, as light finds the moth, as thunder finds lightning. And I want you to do your own wild and peaceful love to me. End poem.
That is the first time I got to hear Lorraine's poem. It was just striking. The image was beautiful. And let's get her some comments. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
I thought it was quite beautiful. You know, it's deeply metaphoric. It's rich in substance. And her read was quite beautiful. So I enjoyed I Want You to Find Me as Light Finds the Moth, as Thunder Finds the Lightning. And I Want You to Do Your Own Wild and Peaceful Love to Me. Just beautiful.
Agreed. You know, she was writing to Pablo Neruda, I want to do with you what spring does with the cherry trees, you know, that blossoming. And right here in her couplet, she says she wants to shake the gold out of your veins with a moan. I could just see that. That was just such beautiful imagery. What did you think, Laurent?
I think that when people read Pablo Neruda, it elevates their writing. This piece is phenomenal. I'll bet you that it's not far off the mark from Neruda's own. Ray described this as being rich in metaphors, and it is. It's all metaphors, and metaphors that are absolutely wonderfully imaged. I want to play a destiny like a moonbeam falls on a moonflower. I want to add to your song like the brook winding through the forest of dawn. What she's chosen to do is to allow nature to show the evidence of what she wants. Wow. This is one of the more beautiful poems I've read this year. Really well done.
Mm-hmm. It was breathtaking. I agree.
All goals.
Beautiful comment.
All goals.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And what did you think about this poem, Gwen?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful. The imagery was just so beautiful. and the metaphoric flow. And what really, really set it apart was the way she used the I statements, but within, when, because it was a sound cloud, she captured the emphasis mm-hmm. on the I statements, which really drilled the poem home to the reader, at least to me. So when I heard mm-hmm. it was like, wow. And it was such a deliberate way she did the statement and controlled emotion in the voice that it was just, it gave it another kind of feeling entirely rather than when you just read it.
Agreed. Thank you. What a beautiful comment. And Frank, I'd love to know your comment, what your thoughts are on Renée's poem.
Okay. Orange is a fantastic writer. She has just a gift of writing, and I really enjoyed this type of poetry. Like Laurent said, it was extremely magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Great. Beautiful comment. Thank you, Frank. And
you're
Greg,
welcome.
Our next poem.
So we have Field Bathing by A.R. Mundell. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Irish Rose, that would be great.
Sure. Begin poem, Field Bathing by A.R. Mundell. Field bathing in the sun, eyes bleached white by midday glare. Saturation flees the grass, cropped military shorts. One eye opens verdant hue, tilted horizon stretches on. It congregates in leafy dips and bruising clouds below. Head shifts right to other eye. The one which pointed to the sky, close focus sharp but distance blurred, my ghost hand ruffling highlights. I close both eyes to reddish shoe, greens and orange creeping in, and listen to a train go by and birds trill at their bows. The sun breaks out behind a cloud, turning my skies from lemon to turquoise. Dog trucks by, called by a man, though I don't look up at either. A small breeze ruffles through the trees, distant lorry backing up. A fly streaks by, a pigeon coos, and I consider getting up. Ombre, eyes in green to blue. Small plane buzzes overhead. The sun goes in aqua wind as the wind caresses skin. I open my eyes to a jet high above. The clouds move up to obscure its path and watch a small plane silhouette go rumbling overhead. Machinery grumbling in the town, overlaid by rhythmic chirp. I marvel at how the rugby coast blend up. I feel the indents of the stalks pressing tattoos into my skin as another train clacks rolling by and my eyes are bathed in rouge. The itching grass runs out on me. I flip the world reverse and watch a fleet brown butterfly blown straight over the grass. The world the same as when I'd left. The axis sky's the right way round. I smile at my time in Wonderland before I set my feet home. In poem.
Oh, you did such a beautiful read of Amy's poem on field bathing. I really love these stanzas. I feel the indents of the stalks pressing tattoos into my skin as another train clacks rolling by and my eyes are bathed in rouge. The itching grass winds out on me. I flip the world reverse and watch a fleet of brown butterfly blown straight over the grass. Her imagery is breathtaking and beautiful. Makes me want to go run through a field of wildflowers. I thought this was gorgeous. You did such a beautiful, beautiful read, Gwen. What did you think of the poem that Amy wrote, Gray?
I thought it was great. I mean, you know, I really enjoyed the otherworldly feel to it, even though, you know, like it makes you want to go lay in a field of grass and just, you know, experience all this as she has. It was powerful in its imagery and palpable in its motion. So wonderful, right? Fantastic read as well. Irish Rose.
Thank you. Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I was really struck by the title, Field Bathing. Field bathing in the sun, eyes bleached white by midday glare. Saturation flees the grass, cropped military short. Each stanza, offers us a perspective. When she closes her eyes to the reddish hue, greens and oranges creeping in, we can understand. So what happens when we all close our eyes and the light invades, and there are colors and sparkles and little shifting things that we see. And she gives us, I close both eyes to reddish hue, greens and oranges creeping in, and listen to a train go by and birds trill at their bows.
Mm-hmm.
The relaxation of just field bathing, as she says, and then observing everything around her, what she hears, what she sees, et cetera, really makes this poem, the amount of detail brings us right to it. And the ending is excellent.
Agree. You know, I love being in a field and watching the grass flow and watching the, you know, listening to the bees and watching the butterflies. Yeah, beautiful comment. Marant, thank you so much. And Gwen, your comment next.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. I like the laid-back imagery and just the flow of just, you know, relaxing flow. And I could just feel it like I was there. So I really enjoyed it.
Agreed. And how about, thank you, beautiful comment. And how about you, Frank?
This poem took me back on a train ride, which I recently had. It just made me see the beauty of the fields, the beauty of the country. It was just a very, very wonderful piece, very intuitive and filled with sentience, very perceptive and descriptive as well.
Agreed. And I got a special phone call tonight that I was not expecting. It's Katie from Scotland.
Oh, you can stay there now. I should be rocking the Morocco by then, shaking them.
Well, it's actually Katie from Spain, but hiya.
Yeah. Olé. So, how are you? Are you in Spain already?
Yes. Yes. I think I just made. I think I just made myself a wonderful cup of gravy browning or something. I can't speak Spanish. I thought it was coffee.
Oh. It might be a tole.
Whatever.
I wonder if that's what you're drinking. Okay, great.
Oh. Great. Help. Poor darling.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Weaver. Much appreciated you calling.
Yeah,
in.
I got too excited.
Don't do that.
Enjoy.
Well,
did
you get to hear the poem, sweetheart?
No, I did not. I was having trouble with the internet, in as much as I couldn't download
and
find it. But no, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay, so you can rest back and read and help us comment.
Yeah.
And enjoy your vacation. Let Gray do all the work. Okay, sweet Gray, we're ready for you.
Okay, so we have Pam Ray's poem up next, and it's The Careful Measure. It says SoundCloud.
The careful measure of time and words. I live for tomorrow, a dreamer collecting sand from oyster shells, coconut oil perfumed to smooth the rough edges of experience. I miss the ticking clock, memories of your melodic words measured. My muscles cramp while I palm the poetry from eyes of books and dust. Foam falls from a hole in my pillow and cords are tangled on the floor. Trees are reaching towards a gray sky as if needing the taste of rain. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. That was not only a beautiful read from Pam, but such a beautiful poem of the careful measure of time and words. You know, this brevity is just full of emotions and imagery and such beauty. I live for tomorrow, a dreamer. Collecting sand from oyster shells, coconut oil, perfume to soothe the rough edges of experience. You know, for me, the best way to relieve stress is to go out in nature. I'll be heading to the Apache Mountains this weekend, and all I can think about is those wildflowers and the fern trees and, you know, the crispness, the way that the air smells, whether you're at a beach, the scents, or whether you're up in the, you know, the mountains, you know, those, they just melt all the problems and issues that you have. They just melt away, smoothing the rough edges of experiences, the things that we go through. And also, you know, sometimes where you miss somebody and how it just blossoms into beautiful words of poetry. I love this poem, Pam. This is just gorgeous. I'm going to pin this on my page. What did you think, Gray?
I thought it was beautiful. It's, you know, it speaks the truth in a beautiful way, you know. Such a truthful beauty emanates through her poetry. And, you know, you can think, I say truthful because, you know, she speaks of foam falling from a hole in her pillow. And the clouds are cords are tangled on the floor. I mean, you know, I think we all have holes in our pillows and cords that are tangled on the floor. So that's the truth right there. And, you know, you can feel the longing of the trees reaching towards the gray sky as if needing the taste of rain. And that's, you know, that's kind of how I see this as a careful measure of time and words. So just a beautiful poem and well read.
Beautiful comment, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Matt? Murat?
He's still there.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, he might be coughing. How about you, Gwen?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. It was very poignant. It was kind of brief, but she said a lot of stuff, and it was very heavy and very that would really stay with you. You know, the saving, the waste, the beauty, the ugly, the happiness and sadness that's grown by time and how we measure it. And I really, you know, I give a lot of thought to that now these days. And I really thought it was a great poem. Reflective.
Great. Excellent comment. How about you, Frank?
No, the poem is brief, but there's so much said in this poem. The emotions, the imagery is striking. I thought overall the piece was fantastic.
Agreed. And Katie, would you like to comment?
Yes, my darling, I would. I hope you can hear me okay.
Oh, we hear you really good.
Oh, good. Yes, this was a beautiful brevity. I really enjoyed that the last two lines are, they're just, you can understand how it must feel to need the taste of rain, you know, when things are grey around you and you need that sort of buoyancy of the rain on your leaves. I think that's wonderful. But I particularly loved "My muscles cramp while I palm the poetry from eyes of books and dust." That's just really beautiful. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's a lovely brevity and very well read. So thank you very much, Pam.
Thank you, Katie. Okay, back to you, Gray.
Okay, so next we have Memorial Day, inspired by Thomas B. by Wanda Lee Brayton. And if you wouldn't mind reading that for us, Katie, that would be great.
I would be happy to. Thank you. Give me
Thank
a moment.
You.
Get myself. Oh, my goodness me. That's a lovely picture. Okay. Oh, right. So this is, sorry. I do apologize. This is Memorial Day. That's what I was trying to find. So humid days found me with scissors in the garden, cutting tall stems gently, helping my mother fill coffee cans with water, then with tulips, daffodils, and chrysanthemums. We drove, then walked for hours, pausing to put one can each upon the final beds of those whose names I did not recognize, for relatives I knew only from fading photographs. Evergreens and pines scented the air as ground squirrels ran furiously to scurry from our sight, then raised their burrows inquisitively, wondering why we were slowly spreading colour across parched dirt. I knew to step carefully between rows and whisper with respect, although I thought no one was listening. I could never be too sure. Silently, my mother would wipe a tear from her sunburst cheek. I would gently take her hand and hold it between my own, unable to understand her sorrow. She'd stroke my hair, murmur about the inevitable passage of years, morning shadows the dust could not hide from her eyes. Even now I remember the weight of a cloudless sky as her shoulders bent beneath the heft of unspoken memories. Then she would sigh and say it was time to go, leaving behind those who'd already gone ahead long before, marking trails we could not follow. On the way home, we were quiet, each lost in our own thoughts. Decades later, without her hands and wisdom to guide me, there have been far too many places to visit and never enough flowers to cover these expanding fields. End poem.
Oh, Katie, what a beautiful, emotive, powerful poem of personal nature and of the spiritual things and gifts that our parents give us and teach us, you know, to honor and show respect to the dead. Especially the ending stanza where she talks about, you know, because now there's just so many sorrowful deaths. Decades later, without her hands and wisdom to guide me, there had been far too many places to visit and never enough flowers to cover the expanding fields. You know, this is just touches you deeply with such sadness in memories and, you know, heartfelt thoughts that just make my soul weep for all those that have passed and served before us. And we want to honor them with the thanks. What did you think? I'm sorry, it kind of choked me up. What did you think about the poem, Greg?
I thought it was a very reverential poem, dedicated to those who have passed before us. And it was beautifully expressed, so heart-wrenching, but beautiful for sure.
Great. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
And can I add, you did a beautiful read on it, Katie?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Did he disconnect or something?
Okay.
Can you hear me, Greg?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello? I don't know. Nobody could hear me. Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
You're there.
All right. Thank you.
Laurent,
Greg, what? Yeah, Laurent, I guess he's still not with us. Gwen, your comments, please.
Oh, yes. This was very moving, you know, very moving poem. And the truth is there to this day, and it just brings me back to the 60s and the song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And it's mm-hmm. so true to this day. There are never going to be enough flowers to go around. And we do know where all the flowers have gone, and they keep going. And, you know, it's just it's really sad. It's a heavy thing. And now when we recall these things, we have to do something with that emotion. And so I thought that this was a real tribute to that day.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Gwen. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
I have to agree with the last comment. Yeah. The poem was very emotive, very dedicated to the lost ones, the lost ones, but not forgotten. Great poem.
Thank you, Frank. And how about you, Katie?
Oh, yes. I I particularly liked the fact that it wasn't a poem that was constricted in any way by any, you know, meters or you know, rhyming or any. There was no constriction. It was an absolute pouring from the heart to the page. And I thought that was, I think that just really made it so special and so personal, I think. But yes, beautifully, beautifully written and so sweet and so sad. And I agree with what everyone else says. It's not a nice world out there sometimes. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you. Wonderful comments. And thank you, Wanda, for honoring all the military during Memorial Day. And we're back to you, Grace.
Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is called Sumptuous Feast by Rhonda Isery. And would you mind reading that, Leah?
Okay. Let me refresh. Sometimes I have to refresh, sometimes I don't. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
I can say that.
Oh, then Joyce got nuts. Mound boat. I'm sorry. Lack of sleep does funny things to me. Most people get cranky. I get like, oh my goodness, like this.
You feel like a nut.
Okay. Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Oh, you have man. To have some laughter to let you know that.
Have a good old nutty time here.
Yeah. Yeah. By Rhonda Yelsey. Everyone raves to hear summer, blowing her trumpet as she excitedly plays a festive song to show the world her luxurious, matchless treasures. The oak trees prance along in their bedazzled ensembles, lustrous green capes, canopies fashioned with playful leafy patterns. Magic wand branches stretch with light-hearted gaiety and eyeshadow knee-high boot trunks. Elegant designs of the latest women's street style trends, including inspiration from experts in fashion, integrate harmoniously into a forest wardrobe with plays a yoga music playlist. When plays a yoga music playlist, skilled birds do guitar solos, tempting the nimble flowers to perform a unison dance theme. Such enticing scenery evokes fond memories, urge peace to stroll down my gloomy mood, swampy woods. In home. You know, I really loved your ending stanza, how it opened up her gloomy mood into swampy woods, into this beautiful summertime feast like she speaks about, and the glorious colors. This picture she has up here is stunning, like stained glass. And I was laughing in my head, not out loud, when I was reading her stanzas. I really like this. Elegant designs of the latest women's trends, including inspiration from experts in fashion, integrate harmoniously into a forest wardrobe. That imagery there was just spectacular. I could just see it. She took us to a New York fashion show with the most beautiful images and colors. And that she wrote here, I really enjoyed this poem. Thank you, Rhonda, and congratulations on your front page pick. Gray, what did you think of Rhonda's poem?
You know, her talent really shines through on this, right? You know, comparing fashion and nature is a beautiful thing. So I thought she did a wonderful job, and you did a beautiful read on it as well.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Gwen?
I really enjoyed the flowing imagery she used. You know, it was really nice. And then when she finally got to the very last stanza, I thought that just like you said, it really opened up everything. It was like, yeah, this is really nice, the way it feels good in the end. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, another beautiful poem of being out in nature and how it heals you. I agree. Thank you,
right.
Gwen. Lovely comment. How about you, Frank?
The imagery here in this poem is striking. you think about what's being written here, and you can just imagine it, you know. I think she did a fantastic job of the imagery. So,
thank you. And Katie, what did you think? Thank you. And what did you think about Rhonda's poem?
Well, first of all, kudos on using that picture so well and winding her words around it. Beautiful. I particularly loved, because you know I love the wind, I love the whole sound of the wind, but I liked Wind Plays a Yoga Music Playlist, Skilled Birds Do Guitar Solos, Tempting the Nimble Flowers to Perform a Unison Dance with Them. Oh, lovely. Really is. I envy that kind of talent, I really do. Beautiful. Yeah.
Agreed.
So, lovely, thank you.
Wonderful comment, Miss Katie. I'm so happy to have you tonight.
Thank you. Well, I was bored. I was wide awake and bored, man. So this is great.
How can you be bored and stay there now, Katie?
I love it. It's tomorrow I'm going to go looking for handbags, which is going to be very thrilling.
There you go.
You can find some beautiful stuff there.
Yes, yes.
I love the decorative handbags.
Yes. Oh, God, beautiful. And I know specifically what I want. I can't walk for very long, so it's a quick dash in and then back to the car kind of thing. Yeah, great fun.
Oh, wow. You take a picture and let us see what it looks like.
Oh, I will, yes.
Okay. And we're back to you, Gray.
Okay, so we have the next poem up. This is called A Sequel by Alternative Pixie. And if you wouldn't mind reading that, Gwen, that would be great.
Sure, no problem.
Thank
Begin
you.
Poem. A Sequel by Alternative Pixie. Something dimmed the streetlight, flying in the night. Owls hoot when it's time to take warning. My thumb fancy elephant, speech impediment, squawking goose and gaggle. The leaves move unnaturally. With rooftop shoes, you miss some powder on its slipper. Peanut brain, you entertain video scars and rough making fuss, callous muscle. See, my dense hat, scarlet letter, body odor, washed up gang of circus freaks, slither through the grass. You aren't all belly dancers. However, you sure crawl and are well acquainted with cockroaches. End poem.
Cockroaches. Definitely not my favorite. I never had seen a flying cockroach until I went to the South and I heard something flying and oh my God. Totally freaked out. It landed on my head. And I just, I did a fast panic dance. my hands, you know, because you have to, when your fingers, you're doing vibrato on a violin, but when something's in your hair, your fingers are going crazy. You had a fabulous read. Gray, what did you think of Alternative Pixie's poem?
Well, she definitely has an alternative mindset with her poetry, and I don't know what this is a sequel to. I don't know what this is a sequel to, but I'd sure like to see the original, because this is intriguing. You know, it has so many metaphoric, rich devices in it that it's definitely palpable to the imagination. So, great job and a fantastic read, Irish Rose.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, she really did such a fabulous job of reading this, Rose. You know, I'm just like, this is the same Mitch. Peanut brain. You entertain video scars and rough tassels, making fuss of calloused muscle. Her imagery is a delight until you get to the ending stanza because it's just, she captivates you with her words and, it just talks about, for me, how people look at other people. So washing up the gang of circus freaks, how people see others. you know, and her imagery is just, it's biting and spectacular. What did you think, Gwen?
Oh, I thought it was, I liked what you said. Yeah, biting. It was different, and I certainly didn't see the cockroaches coming in the end. So I thought it was one of those really cool kind of surprises that you're just, you know, going along and you're like, okay, yeah, yeah. And roaches, like, whoa. That was a cool surprise.
Yes, it was. And what did, thank you, Gwen. How about you, Frank?
Well, this is I don't know what the sequel is to this poem here, but this is a very creative, very innovative piece. I'm not going to get into the roaches there. I'll leave them for you there. But I thought it was a fantastic job there.
Thank you. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, wonderful. I mean, really, the imagery here is amazing. It took me back to my childhood. I didn't know you could get flying ants. But we moved to Malta when I was very young, and my mum and dad were outside talking to the new neighbours, and I was in the kitchen, and the houses are made of sandstone, so they, you know, they're easily eroded. And out of this hole in the wall came all these flying ants. Like, they just pushed out.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful. I was under the table with a flick gun. I don't even know if anybody knows what a flick gun is, but it was a thing for killing insects. It's a sort of got a brass barrel on it, I think. But I was there defending my sisters from the flying ants. So that just took me straight back to that. So now we have cockroaches are in the air. Is it not growing up already? Blimey. When they're on the ground, you can deal with them. But up there, no, it's not allowed. Definitely not. But a wonderful piece of poetry. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. And fantastic poem. Back to you, Gray.
Okay, so next we have Stillness by Aubenac, and I will give this a read. There is a sharp and clear silence about these woods. The leaves, rustles are missing. No wings are in view. No limbs giving rise to a sound. No hush of this place engages my soul to embrace its riches. A rush within, like a white light surfacing in the pitch black room, dispels gloom's fog. My heart is glad to fly from city's uproar and foam.
Oh, what a fantastic read, Gray, by Omenix. Let's get him some comments. Gwen, what did you think of Omenix's poem?
I always really appreciate his work. He's very, very patient in his work, and I always find that he can bring such sharp focus into so many inanimate situations, just like he has here. And he just makes you feel the silence. And I recall reading an article lately about all these storms and all these huge floods that are everywhere. There's no more birds anywhere, and they're gone, and they don't know what happened to them. And this is all over the world that they've had these huge floods. And so, you know, I could feel that within his poem. And the rush within, like a white light surfacing in a pitch black room, dispels gloom's fog. My heart is glad to fly from the city's uproar. And I think about that. It's, you know, how reinforcing it is to feel something of normalcy, like hearing a bird or seeing it fly, or wondering where are the squirrels on the ground or something like that, to make you know you're okay. And so I think that he captured that really well, and I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Excellent comment. Frank, your opinion?
Yes. The emotions, I mean, the imagery was fantastic throughout the poem. And I thought, I agree with what's been said here by Gwen. There's the beauty of stillness, you know, when you're out there in the countryside and you're out there in nature, you find yourself even more identifying with nature because you feel nature. Overall, fantastic poem.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's that, you know, being in the hustle and bustle of the city, the noise, the people, the traffic,
at work with people's work phones going off, cell phones going off, you know, the chatter, the discussions, and, you know, there's a different type of noise and stillness in the wood. There is noise there, but it is something that is light and infuses the soul with beauty. And, you know, it, you know, like he brings in here, my soul to embrace its riches, you know, that the cleanness of the air, just everything. It just energizes your inner being and soul with its stillness. And I thought this was beautifully penned and expressed. What did you think, Katie?
I agree. I mean, it really makes you want to go in and just, you know, be amongst trees. You get the most beautiful air, as you say, and the light coming through the leaves, they moving around. It's just beautiful. It really is. It's a place I think you could, I could actually meditate or be still within myself, which I can never do. You know, it's just not, I'm not able to quieten the rush within. It's just not, it's not something I could, but there in a forest, hugging a tree, I could do it. So beautifully done. I really appreciate this. I think it's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Wonderful comment, Katie and Gray. What did you think about the poem you just read?
You know, it speaks to my heart. You know, I'd rather be in the silent woods than in the hustle and bustle of the city. So, yeah, I agree with the poem completely.
Agreed. And now we're into open poetry. So let's get started. Whatever poems are not read here, your open poetry will be read at the beginning of next Monday. And we will continue our front page pick with Gray Eyes and Daniel. So, you know, check us out.
Okay, so the first poem is Bill Schiller, and it says Bill will read. Did we pass up on that one?
Yes.
We'll skip that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll go with Lawrence 67 then. And Frank can't read.
And Frank? Any. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Frank
can't
read? No.
Okay.
So,
no.
Okay.
Well,
that's cool.
Tonight.
Okay,
I will read for Lawrence 67. So this is called Rap Ballad by Lawrence 67. The rap ballad of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie. Puff, puff, pass. Puff, puff, pass. Puff, 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 puff. I'm Nigel the Fat Cat, and I ain't no rat. Alfie. Hey, Nigel, why don't you pass that? Or wear a Bogart hat, messing up my high with all that fat cat jive. Nigel. I walk the streets looking for a fight. It could be a day or in the middle of the night. Something in me will just ignite. Alfie. I hear you, bro. It's like when you gotta go. Too many kibbles, don't you know? But it's cold outside, and the box is full, and you want to pull up on my finger, fool. Nigel. I'm Nigel, the fat cat. Don't you know that? And I ain't no rat. Alfie. And for those who don't know me, I'm Alfie. I'm Nigel's homie. And that's a wrap for this here rap. End poem.
You know, he has such fantastic rhyme and humor in his poetry with his storytelling. I really got to, you know, the first two stanzas, the rap ballad of Nigel Fat Cat and his homie Alfie. Puff, puff, pass. Puff, puff, pass. Puff, 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 puff. I'm Nigel the Fat Cat and I ain't no rat. Alfie. Hey, Nigel. Why don't you pass that or wear a Bogart hat, messing up my high with that all that fat cat jive. that just cracked me up because you could just, yeah, you know, talking about his homie, you know, it's just enjoyable to have somebody read his poem and, you know, in the imagery that with that Bogart hat, you know, that just cracked me up. Reminded me of Cheech and Chong. What did you think about the poem, Gwen?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I really thought he did a great storytelling. And of two homeboy kitties from the hood getting down on some of that fat cat jive. I thought he did it well. It was fun.
Yeah, it was. It was enjoyable. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
Well, you know, the poem, I was wondering for a second there if Greg wanted me to rap there. I didn't know the poem was in the rap supposed to be, but he did a fantastic job. Poem overall was full of satire, which I do hear more of these type of poetry from him. But he did a fantastic job. And a great read there.
Yeah, he did.
Great.
Thank you. And
rhymes.
How about you? Yeah, I know. I heard you rapping on one of your things. I was actually surprised, Frank. Yeah, I'd like to hear more of that.
I'll bring that next time.
Okay, that would be great. And Miss Katie, what did you think?
As ever, wonderful. I think the guy is amazing. I just love his sense of humor. He cares about nothing, cares about nobody when it comes to his writing. I mean, he just goes in there and has a great time, which I think is just superb. I actually saw a comment on one of his poems a little while ago, and the chap who had written it had said, you know, it didn't make any sense. What on earth was he doing? And of course, me being me, had to jump right in. And I won't say what I said, but it was fun. But yeah, he deserves everything he gets, this Nigel. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I was trying to figure out the puff puff.
Yeah, do that again, Katie. It sounds like you know what to do.
You know, funnily enough, I don't. Isn't that weird?
I've got
many vices, but not that. Many vices, but not that. But I understand.
Katie did have a rap there. Make a rap piece, yeah.
I've actually written two rap poems.
There you go. You got to bring it to the show,
I don't think you'd want to hear it, honestly. No.
Oh,
but it was fun.
Never know, Katie.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. We'll probably like it. Greg, I would like to see it. I'd like to hear it, Miss Katie.
Okay, I'm going to find it. Be it on
your
own.
Don't forget your Bogart hat.
Yeah.
So cool.
I'm sure you can find one up in Spain.
Okay,
somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere.
Yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
I don't know.
And Gray, you did a fabulous read on this. And Mr. Puffmaster, what did you think?
Well, it just reminds me of what's been in the news lately about a series called Stoner Cats that Mila Kunis has in trouble with the law for SEC charges for unregistered offers of cryptocurrency assets. So she was charged $1 million from the SEC for her bad behavior. And but I mean, stoner cats can give you trouble if you're not careful, apparently. But
what is that?
It's a series that's created by. Mila Kunis, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, it reminded me of that. So, but, you know, he's got definitely a niche market there, and I thought his characters are well developed and well written and well created. So, great job. Thank you for sharing, Lawrence.
Thank you. We're ready for our next poem.
Okay, we have I Am Her Fantasy by Poetic Picasso, and he has a SoundCloud.
Okay.
My caress of a raspberry lips sends an electricity awakening her passion. I seduce her with the sensual whispers of Spanish temptation. My fingers explore every inch of her exotic body like a lustful flame. ignited by my erotic heat. She craves for the caramel taste of my flesh with her drenched tongue. Every kiss of mine is the moisture of a nocturnal feast. My mocha eyes are the spell of a moonlight glow. My sultry voice is the sound of a midnight lover. I purple with petals with a gentle stroke of calm ecstasy. I sate her thirst and feed her hunger with the nourishment of her soul. She moans like a symphony of musical notes as we embrace a very deep thrust of untamed desire. I am the thunder of a raging storm, the pouring rain of an orgasmic cry, a wild stallion on the loose. Your soy su fantasia sexualis, y ella es mi delicia. Soy su satisfacción, soy su culminación. I am a sexual fantasy, and she is my delight. I am a satisfaction, I am a culmination. She wants me, she still craves my thrust. Ay, qué rico. Ay, qué rico. Ole. Ole.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know. I think you cause our brain to freeze up, Frank.
Holy!
Oh my goodness! I satiate her thirst and feed her hunger with the nourishment of her soul. You know, that is just so deeply rich and erotic and sensuous. Because you're looking deeper than what's on the outside. You want what's on the inside to come out. She moans like a symphony of musical notes as we embrace with untamed desire.
I get it. You're going to make me start coughing again. Got excited when I heard Katie, and now you got me all excited listening to you read.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Degree,
yeah, I lose. Yeah, you make me stutter, and I lose all my thoughts.
Oh, there you go. I don't want that to happen.
Beautiful. No, beautiful imagery, gorgeous poem. Taking somebody's breath away. Oh, wonderful. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
Well, what can I say? Well, quite a lot, actually.
You said you were bored there, Katie.
Yeah, well, not anymore. I'm certainly awake as well. I am the thunder of a raging storm, the pouring rain of an orgasmic ride. I like that. That's a beautiful stanza. An orgasmic ride. Beautifully done. A roller coaster. That's what it is. It's a roller coaster. No, I thought it was beautiful. And then we have a wild stallion on the loose. Oh, my goodness me. I always love the stanza. Just so sweet, each one. As sweet as well as sexy, which is, I think, a wonderful combination. So well done. Well done, Frank.
Oh, thank you very much.
Agreed. Agreed.
I'll send you some Morocco there.
I think I'm going to...
You can't go above the Morocco, can I?
Oh, no. That...
I believe I'm going to go for Maracas. Well, thank you.
Oh, you can chipper and shake over there.
Yeah, you can.
Yes, I could do
you
that.
You can make all, yeah. Click that noise with those moans, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Jump on in, Greg. What did you think?
Rico, Rico. Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, you really steamed the room up with your reading. You're right. So great job, and thank you for sharing.
I do appreciate that. Now, the next week, I'll bring in more of a poem or substance. I told Lou I'll bring a nature poem or something there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you could just read those.
I'd like to read that. That'd be wonderful.
All right.
Okay,
you read my next poem then next week.
Mm-hmm. We're ready for the next one, Mr. Gray Eyes.
Okay, we have Autumn Brings Spring by Hope Soul. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Katie.
I would be happy to. I just got to get it, first of all. Oh, I got it. Oh, cool. It makes life so much. It's lovely sitting back as one of the audience. I love this. Thank you, Gray. So this is Autumn Brings Spring. With a touch of pollen from our flower mixed with your honey, I write these vows atop the parchment paper that is your pale skin. I know it was spoken before, the oceans were parted by the seasons of light, well beyond sonnets written in star flakes, your body, my body, ours. Feed me droplets of your poetry, which waters the love between our ribs, photographic timestamps of constellations tattooing the day to day, butterfly weave, silk spin, leaf knots connecting golden cords to golden cords, us. Pomegranate wine bleeds out from the moon's mouth, creating full bloom crimson shines, waiting to witness clouds swell, eagerly in want to release each one promise to shower the dirt down from the heaven, up from hell's gates. Everything waits for our next embrace. I smell rain in the air. End poem.
I've got to say, this is one of the most beautiful poems that Hope has written for Nuno. And, you know, she writes in her author's notes, Yo te amo, baby. I love you, baby. And she's talking about love, romance, and marriage. And with that opening stanza, oh, my God, it's just so gorgeous. With a touch of pollen from a flower mixed with your honey, I write these vows atop of the parchment paper that is your pale skin. What a beautiful tribute and love poem that she's wrote to Nuno. This is just a beautiful dedication. What did you think about the poem, Greg?
I thought it was a beautiful expression of love and devotion that is dripping with desire. Wonderfully read and a fabulous write.
Agreed. And how about you, Frank? Your thoughts?
I'm going to echo what Gray said. I think the imagery, the emotion, the devotion was just unmeasurable. It's just inconceivable. It's one of a kind. And they experience it with their writing. And I think they do a fantastic job when they write, when they do write about each other and the love they profess. Great job.
Agreed. Thank you, Frank. And Katie, what did you think of the poem you just read?
Sorry for the stumble a couple of times. I apologize for that. But I thought it was wonderful. I love that first stanza, though. But with a touch of pollen from our flower mixed with your honey, I write these vows atop of the parchment paper that is your pale skin. That's just, you know, it's a different level. That is, it's obviously invoking the love they have for each other and doing it so well. It's lovely to be able to see that, you know, that we can share in a very small way with how they feel. So, yes, I thought it was brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie. Back to you, Gray.
Okay, so next we have Sailor on Hand, on Land by Nuno Cardoso. And I will give this a read. Switzerland butterflies rest at the madhouse balcony, and the snow welcomes my feet. Oh, hey, oh, hey. Texas delights shine on my back as I leave to embark on the sea. Just another sailor who didn't want to leave. Oh, hey, ayo, ayo. Rope on the throat as of late, gentle breaths between the squeeze. blades behind hats dangle on a dart. Hey, hey, hey. Another bottle of rum, another pint. Wet dock, wet socks, dry lung, cold casket. No one visits a man of the sea at midnight. Yo, oh, yo, oh. Oh, oh, winter, where to next? End poem.
You know, I really love this poem by Nuno. It shows another part of him, his humor, and his humor is spectacular. In his imagery about the sailor being on land, having to learn to walk on land after having to balance himself on sea, on the boat. Texas delight shine on my back as I leave to embark on the sea. Just another sailor who didn't want to leave. Ayo, ayo. I wonder what he's thinking that made him write this poem. It was just a delight to hear it being read. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
Did you say me or Gray?
Yes, you.
Oh, you know, Nuno's a very creative writer, you know, and his style of writing is very unique and very of his own accord. And I thought overall the poem was just a delight. It had a bit of humor, but also it had a sense of creativity that it's uniquely his. So I thought he did a fantastic job.
And thank you so much. Fabulous comment. And how about you, Katie?
Oh, yes, very good. I liked it a lot. I liked it. I don't know if you've ever experienced being on a ship or a boat for any length of time. I used to sail a lot. I had a boat down in a harbour near me, and we'd go out for like days on end. And when you come back onto dry land, you think that the world is tilting, but it's not. It's you, but you're trying to get your balance because you're so used to moving your weight around to stay upright, as it were. It's an amazing feeling. I mean, it really is. You feel like you're on a high. And it's lovely, so I can understand why you'd want to get back to it. Yes, definitely. We don't want dry land, but with no more dry land, back onto the sea again. Wonderful. Loved it.
Excellent comment. Thank you so much, Katie. How about you, Gray?
I enjoyed it. You know, he has an incredible imagination, which shines through in this write quite brilliantly, so it was fabulous to read it.
Sure was. Thank you. You did a good job in reading it. Our next poem, please.
Yep, posting it now. Here we go. Oops, sorry. There we go. All right, we have The World Is My Oyster by Papa Terminus. And since I can't
forgot,
read all...
Weaver's got a poem at the bottom. An open poetry still.
I didn't see that. Okay,
you got to refresh your page.
Yeah. Okay.
That's okay. You don't want to hear it. Don't even think about it.
Yes, we do.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Oh, my God.
I double dog dare you, Katie.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Pretty out of Scotch there. Yeah.
Anytime you're ready, Katie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to read that one. I do apologize.
It's a rap piece there.
Is it? Okay. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, here it is. Yes. I'm sorry. I was so busy looking at the one I thought you were going to read. So sorry. Now, you must excuse my terrible American accent, okay, because it's not my native tongue, but it's a bit of fun, I hope. Hopefully. Here we go. I don't know if I can do this. Okay. I'm cold as stone. Live my life alone. Hear the message, feel the tone, a social pariah, you close my fire, see the passion flying higher, your pain is my pleasure, I absorb your heat, my leisure, all you get is my time, I control what is mine, I ration my attention, let you believe you're an ascension, I take you higher to drop you lower, I switch you off, switch you on, use my voice to make you care, pour pure lust into your ear. I purr and I stretch. Feral urges I'll project. If you reach out, I'll reject. Lesson learned, no respect. I do what I like. Drop the mic. And so
you go, girl.
You go, girl.
You
slamming
go
out some lyrics.
It was absolutely awful, but it was fun to write.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I loved your imagery and the power in here. You know, where you say, I switch you off, squish you on, use my voice to make you care, pour peerless into your ear, I purr and I stretch, feral urges, I'll protect, if you reach out, I'll reject, lesson learned, no respect, I do what I like, drop the mic.
Hey, now you're rocking with you.
I didn't even know what
you're a natural
rapper there.
Oh dear, I didn't even know what drop the mic meant. I'd heard it, so I thought I'll stick it in there. It sounds urban.
You did it. That was fantastic, really fantastic. What did you think, Gray?
Yeah, I loved it. You know, I remember when you did this the first time, and it was fantastic then. But it's just as wonderful to hear it again. So, thank you for sharing that. It was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Gray and Frank. I know you do a lot of rap, so I would love to hear what
you
think.
I was
saying.
Waiting for her to say, I'm cold as stone, live my life alone, hear the message, feel the tone. I thought I was going to hear some. But, I got to say, that was a nice, nice addition there of your rap in there, Katie. I think that it comes natural to you, no?
No.
I loved it.
I'd love to hear some more. That was fabulous. Thank you.
There.
What was that, Frank?
Yeah.
I said, you even had you rapping.
Oh, good. Good old. Oh, my goodness me.
I totally enjoyed it. That was enjoyable. I would love to hear you do it again. So, Mr. Gray, or back to you, sweetie.
Okay. We're going to do The World is My Oyster by Papa Terminus. And I will give this a read. Okay, here we go. Can you bathe me in the glow of this artificial spotlight? I get lost sometimes when the sun doesn't cast a shadow upon the moon. You play me like a gothic violin, dousing my bow into the flames, a steady solo, a serenade from the black butterfly to fade, claiming the world is my oyster and darkness is my reward. Beneath this breastplate lies a stone, a garnet of blood red, shadows of thrones. As the dark butterfly strings melodies, all the madness each flutter brings. Blood runs cold in the caravan, phantoms deep. A gray morning comes my way while I proclaim the world is my oyster. Let those tubular bells chime. End poem. And he says it in his author's notes, I live for gothic tones that express a more romantic flair. I was born in the wrong century, I know, but I believe classic gothic poetry should have renaissance. Who knows, I could be the leader of this revolution in the poetic verse. End comment.
So I really enjoy his dark romanticism and the poetry and his imagery in here. This was just wonderfully penned. One of the stanzas that I liked was, you play me like a gothic violin, dousing my boat into the flame, a steady solo, a serenade from the black butterfly to fade. Ooh, just love that. Thank you, Papa. Really, congratulations on your front page pick. What did you think about the poem, Frank?
You know,
he mentions about Gothic elements. I really felt this poem was very Gothic. It had a bit of a flair of Poe as well. But the imagery throughout the poem was very superb. The language here was superb as well. I thought it did a fantastic job conveying in his poetry Gothic elements of his ideas.
Excellent comment, Frank. Thank you so much. And what did you think, Katie? Sure.
Oh, yes, it really built. It was building all the time as we got to the very end there. It was wonderful. The world is my oyster. Let those tubular bells chime. Oh, it's just really lovely. But I did like the penultimate stanza. As the dark butterfly strings melodies, all the madness each flutter brings, blood runs cold in the caravan. Phantom deep, a grey morning comes my way, while I proclaim the world is my oyster. Ah, wonderful. Really, I do like it a lot. I think I'll have to look further into that kind of poetry. Wonderful.
Thank you, Katie. And you read Papa Terminus's poem, Gray. What did you think?
I thought he did a wonderful job on it. You know, it's dark, but it's engaging and has fantastic imagery in it as well. So great chair. Thank you for sharing, Papa Terminus.
Thank you, Gray. And we're ready for our next front page pick.
All righty. I will get that. Sorry, I'm kind of behind here. Okay, here we go. Next we have Know Your Monsters by House of Morgan. And I'll post this to the group. All right, so I'm not too sure if this is a guy or a girl.
I don't know.
Can I ask you to read it, Katie?
Yes, of course, I'd love to. Okay, Know Your Monsters. From the dank, dark depths of despair, a snarling fanged creature rises from his slumber. Legs like twigs, claws, splintered shards of bone, click, click, on long abandoned, rough-strewn pebble roads. The whip-thin beast slinks through gorse, snuffling as he creeps, silently, slowly, ever searching for sustenance, to fill a hollow, growling, gaping void. He has long since forgotten the touch of kindness, hands that soothe, words that hearten, nothing, never having thought his kin would so easily forsake him. He, who unlike them, would remain loyal until death. His heart hardened, his soul weary. He understands that kindness is a thing of cruelty with needle-sharp teeth, a thing that covets trust, craves satisfaction, a fickle, heartless beast. Slipping unseen, ever searching, he comes across a scent, once familiar, perhaps family of a kind, but not the best kind. Now no more than a harbinger of fear and betrayal. He sidles closer, a bag of rags discarded. He slips his nose under the filthy heap, every instinct screaming, no. His heart, his disloyal, faithless heart, wavers. He feels a whisper deep within, a tiny flutter of hope. The rags slowly unfurl. A hand emerges from a curtain of despair, anguish disguised in tatters of one's fine cloth, wretched, pitiful, godless human. Seeing the primal features before him, the broken creature recoils. The odds are evened. Now he is nothing, his dominance a dream, undeserving of pity. He expects an excruciating ripping of flesh, an animal reverting to animal ways. He feels a rough, damaged paw, tentative at first. He covers his treacherous face, cowering, but the retribution never comes. He hears a single soft whine, a query of shared sorrow and despair. He sees a face that knows sickening horror, anguish at the hands of a species ruled by arrogance. Too late, he understands that the love of a dog, of an animal, is a gift not to be careless with. He looks up at the face before him to see eyes so like his own, gazing back, filled with sorrow, he too primitive to understand. End poem.
Mm-mm. What a fabulous read, Katie, and I really enjoyed the storytelling by the House of Moradon. The imagery in here is just fantastic, about seeing that turning into another, an animal. And then when he finally sees and understands in that last stanza in horror, too late, he understands that the love of a dog, of an animal, is a gift not to be careless with. He looks up at the face before him to see eyes so like his own gazing back, filled with sorrow, he is too primitive to understand. You know, and he was writing about death, despair, abandonment, Chernobyl, and hope in animals, you know, what, you know, this, his metaphors of, you know, the human tragedy of experiencing this and, you know, being rejected and, you know, seeing that you are, you know, and, you know, stereotyping somebody. So this was just powerful. I really enjoyed this. Deeply sad. What did you think about the poem, Dre?
You know, it reminds me of a documentary I saw called The Dogs of Chernobyl. And they're, you know, they survived, right? They're without their family, but they're still there and they're still fighting to live. And, you know, how radiation-filled they are, I don't know, but they're still struggling to survive out there on their own without their owners.
And animals. Yeah,
it's such a tragic tale, but it's a powerful write, and it really hits the heartstrings quite hard. So excellent, powerful write.
Great. Excellent comment. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
I'm going to agree with what's been said here by Gray. It's a very powerful poem. There's so much truth spoken in so few words, you would say, because this can go on, it's endless. If this is what is written about Chernobyl and the dogs there, you know, no words can penetrate the sadness, the reality, the despair and despondency of this poem. It was just an incredible, incredible ride. It made me think about that. Few of us have a think about, you know, these incidences now. They've happened over years. But, you know, when you get a poem like that, it makes you remember Chernobyl again and what happened there. And it's hoping it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, because, you know, the animals are trying to survive, you know, just
yes.
Horrific.
Yeah.
How about, thank
Indeed.
You, Frank. Excellent comment. How about you, Katie?
Oh, this was a hard read, but so well deserved, beautifully done. I mean, from the very first stanza, I was in shock. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what on earth? And then as we got, you know, obviously I'm trying to read as well as understand what I'm reading, and we, you know, I kept, and I thought, oh my goodness, but this is just so well done, so terribly well done. And you can actually hear and see the pain and the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear. I think he did an amazing job, especially taking it from the perspective that he did, and opened eyes that would have forgotten all about those poor creatures most of the time, I imagine. I mean, I certainly didn't even think about it until I read this. And oh, beautifully done. So beautifully done. Clever. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Fantastic comment, Katie. And Gray, we're ready for our next front page gig.
All right, here we go. This is called Lookout by Lockdown Larks. And I believe that's a male, so I will give this a read. Lookout. Where do we find a common denominator that will move Prejudice Mountain, averse eternal terminator, 8 billion pouring from its mountain? First seek and learn the lessons of before, the polarity of hate that discriminate, causing the reasons for war. The quest then is to eliminate country, race, sex, or creed. How shall we emaciate them? Smiling with a gun? Those with greed who will confront their mayhem. There's no oxymoron. There's an oxymoron shining bright to unify against bully. We must polarize. Now choose who is right in the fight when denies and lies offer disguise. This is freedom in a nutshell. If groups from around a belief once committed, who can tell the difference between relief and grief? There is a level playing field, a measure in life that all can respect. If all looked in the mirror and yield that love for living is a way to connect. In every mirror, it should be the same. No matter where, no matter who, all have a heart. Light the respect flame. Look out for me, and I'll look out for you. Love living and live loving. End poem.
You know, this is a wonderful poem written by Lockton Lark. You know, I do believe this. You know, it shouldn't matter what color you are, like you put on here, what country, race, sex, or creed. Old, young, it doesn't matter. Bucktooth, glasses, whatever. There's always something that somebody will find a prejudice about. How shall we communicate them? Smiling with a gun, those with greed who will comfort their mayhem. You know, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, we all live on the same planet. We all eat and drink and go to the bathroom the same way. And they, I was looking at, watching a report on the news about a documentary about races and, you know, to find out how much different we are. How much different we are. We are 99.90% all the same. The only difference is that 0.10 and the different color of melatonin in our skin. That's it. That's it. That's the only difference. You know, what are they going to do? Not let their kids color with a black crayon or a red crayon or a yellow crayon because it resembles the color of somebody else's skin? How ridiculous is that? You know, more would be done in peace than in war. Instead of spending all that money in war, could you imagine if we used it for humanity? Oh, excellent poem. Don't get me started. So I would love to know what you think, Frank.
Well, you know, I don't know if I can say any more than what you said there. This is a very powerful write. Touches on themes that are very nowadays. On themes as well. It's just he touches on so much here in this poem here, and it makes you just reflect, because we should reflect on poetry like this. You know, it's not all, you know, writing about nature, writing about love. Sometimes a poem like this makes you reflect as well. It makes you at least think about, you know, what's going on. If we don't really know, we should know by then.
Thank you. Excellent comment. And what did you think, Katie?
You're welcome.
Yes. I abhor the way people are treated because they are a little bit, as you say, a little bit different. I don't know what it is within us that makes people's gut reaction to be they don't trust somebody or they think there's something about them that's evil or awful, whatever, because of just that one aspect of them. There is not an idea. They don't even hear the people speak or find out where these people come from. It's that gut reaction that they have, uneducated, ignorant people who hopefully are becoming less and less in our world as we become more and more aware of. I mean, there's never been a time when we've had so many differences within us. I've never known a time where there were so many different types, groups, people doing their own thing, you know, and enjoying their own lives. And it has to come to an end. We have to get to the point where we can accept people and learn to know them before we judge them. So mm-hmm. I think this is a beautiful piece of poetry, and we should have that mirror, and we should be looking into mm-hmm. it. So thank you very much mm-hmm. for sharing that.
Yeah, I was just, you know, reading one of the commenters in the group, Robbie's poetry. He says it's amazing the minuscule things that people can zoom in on different. I know someone is hung up on someone else's hair color, as it is blue, sometimes a bit red, to point he harasses her. Come on, it's just colored hair. And when someone zooms in on just a little thing like that, I find often they focus on the bigger differences, sadly. And yeah, it is sad. You know, why can't people express themselves? You're not hurting anybody. It's an expression. So you want to dye your hair green, or you want to dye it blue, or you want to dye it red. Who cares? You know what? It's because it's not in the color frequency that you like, brunette, auburn, steely blonde, you know, because they decide to, you know, just express themselves in something other than what is normal. They're considered unnormal and, you know, put in these groups. It's just, you know, I find it so exhausting that people are this way. And Gray, what did you think?
Well, this really harkens me to the song of called One Love by Bob Marley. You know, he says it all in that song. And, you know, one love, one heart. Let's get together and feel mm-hmm. all right, you know. And so that's what it brought to mind for me is that song, One Love, which is mm-hmm. a powerful thing to be
Thank
able to
you.
Do. So, yeah. All right, so we have 3 minutes left. Are we going to go ahead and push another poem or no?
I'm looking to see if I can find a short poem. Hats is pretty short. Can we do hers? If you don't have it, I can put it in there.
Sure, if you don't mind.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to read this. Happiness is real only when shared by hats. Heavenly height by the sun, as if steep breath burns, and as I, as an eagle, fly with the wind, competing with the highest race. I gaze into the flame of sunflowers from above, and my bird soul cheers. I twist in dances of enchantment above the edge of vines, corn and wheat, looking at this country where cows, herds return from the pasturage in the evening, the sheep baa happily far away, dust on the roads glitters when the sun kisses the horizon, and the evening crickets buzz lullabies. To be the eagle would be wonderful, but it is not wonderless. Happiness is real only when shared. God, allow me to be the little lark so I can fly so lonely souls and sing songs to them. End poem. This is a beautiful contest. We only have 60 seconds left, so let's go ahead and get some quick comments. Katie, what did you think of Hat's poem?
I thought it was wonderful. I could actually feel myself soaring. Yes, beautifully mm-hmm. done. Thank you so much, Hans.
And Frank, a comment, please.
Yes, great imagery throughout the poem.
I agree. And just soar, you could just soar, like Katie says. Thank you, Frank. And Gray?
Yeah, you know, it's beautiful. I really like the sentiment. God allow me to be the little lark so I can fly to lonely souls and sing songs to them. That's just beautiful.
Agreed. Well, I want to thank everybody tonight. I want to thank Gray. Thank you for helping me. And Frank, thank you for calling in. We always miss your voice. And Katie, Gwen, Miriam, and Laurent, and Robbie, and Hope that hanged out in the group. Thank you so much. Love you guys.
Good night, everybody.
And we're going to be doing front page pics soon. All right. Good night.
Thank you, Phil.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Buenas noches.
Take care.
Night,
guys.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Besitos.
Besitos a todos. Besitos.
Take care.
Much love, everyone.
Take care, Katie. Enjoy.